Welcome to Grassroots Groundbreakers, a podcast for intrepid patriots who want to make a difference in their communities. This show features real-life success stories with strategies that are proven to work and affect real change on the local level. Each episode features a trailblazing citizen activist who shares practical tips on how anyone can make an impact in American politics. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, you just have to follow the path. Here's your host, Mike Ruthenberg, who serves Convention of States as the Chief Grassroots Officer.
Welcome to the first Grassroots Groundbreakers recording. On this podcast, I have a very special guest with me who will inspire us to turn petition signers into grassroots activists, DCs, and state leaders. And when it comes to turning petition signers into activists, district captains, and state leaders, there's really one main way that it comes, and it comes from petitions, which is the way we grow CRS. And the best part about Convention of States is that we have a structure just like federalism in our states, in all 50 of them. Our states are largely sovereign. They all do things a little bit differently, which is great. The reason for this podcast is to give you some inspiration from our guests who are seeing great success in areas that are relevant to you as a grassroots activist, DC, or a state leader. And when it comes to turning petition signers into grassroots activists, DCs, and state leaders, the state of Illinois is a bit of a phoenix story. They have literally risen from the ashes. They were not a leading state for some time. However, with the advent of a five-year veteran in Convention of States, David Winters, and the beautiful team that he has built, they've turned things quite a bit around. And I'd like to, of course, introduce David Winters from Bartlett, Illinois. And this man has 149,433 activist points right now. So if you're wondering if he's been in the trenches, if he's done the work, that pretty much answers it. And you know, from many of you out there that have maybe not that many activist points, you do a lot of work that don't get counted for activist points, which is an important consideration. So David, welcome to the show. And if you don't mind starting with some of the facts of your team's success, where are you guys right now as far as numbers?
So we are currently, Mike, glad to be with you. We are currently at 65 district captains with two strong maybes, probables, as of last weekend's community get-together, about 217 volunteer activists, about 440 volunteer slots filled. You can see some people double up as telepatriot or another role like VA and Veterans Coalition Director, what have you. And let's see, last year we did 10,000 organically generated petition signatures in Illinois, putting us a hair over 83,000. And we started doing that through about 70 events.
That's incredible. So 83,000 petition signers in the state of Illinois. And how big is Illinois?
It's about 12.5 million people. I think the sixth largest state in terms of population. And I'm a native. I moved here when I was maybe a month old, and I've spent about 53 of my 62 years here. So it's been a great, it's where our kids live. It's I consider it home, and I'm really not looking to move anywhere.
So have you saturated, or do you think there's some more people out there just waiting to be brought in as COS activists and volunteers?
Yeah, so we always got our eye on the ball. I think we had 29 paid events last year, and the rest were 31, I think, or excuse me, 41 were complimentary or $0 charge. So we're doing about 70 events a year. We'll probably approach that this year. And we don't do every event. We look at it, A, if we have the manpower, and B, if we think the benefit to cost is good. And we did stretch ourselves quite a bit last year because, as you know, Mike, social media started to censor us a good 3-4 years ago. So that's okay. We just learn, act, and adjust, right?
Yeah, one of the things I want to highlight is over half of all events you've done, and I'm not dissuading you or anybody from using the event payment request form system to have COS pay for those events, However, over half the ones you guys have done are just local events. And that plays into not just being cost efficient and getting more petition signers, which we're going to talk about in a minute, what you do with those folks, but it also helps keep people active. Explain a little bit about what the events that you guys do are like and how it works to actually keep your folks active and going.
Right. I make it a goal never to have one person run an event alone. If they're doing that, then I have failed as state director. I think just like IBM or AT&T companies that I'm associated with in my work career, never sold alone or never did anything alone. We had a saying when I retired from AT&T, that is, if you're doing it alone and you're failing, you're doing it all wrong. And so I always try to get at least two people engaged before I green light an event. And one of the things, the fourth point I was going to jump to today was I make sure we have fun. If somebody's been working a flea market or a state fair event for a couple hours, and you know, I like to give them $5 or $10, go get a corn dog and a soda and or a popcorn and walk around and come back when you're refreshed. So this is not all business all the time. I think really we're having a lot of fun doing it. And I know in my heart of hearts, we're right. What we're doing is righteous and justified. And the founders would be proud of the country if they saw us taking action. So, you know, you're going to get some tomatoes thrown at you now and then, but that goes with the territory. And I tell folks, just let it roll off your back. Because if they're mad at convention estates, which is rare, they might be having a bad hair day, or they got some other things that they're not too happy with either. But to let people take action is what it's all about. My whole goal when somebody new comes along is that they'll take action and join our biweekly calls and get engaged in at least one to two events. Despite all the training, we want to get them out in the field as soon as possible.
Okay, so let's take a step backwards in time. And I said, and I believe that Illinois is a bit of a phoenix. So there were some ashes there. What did Illinois look like before you came in and started taking a look at the landscape and committing to raise up all the numbers and the activity in the state?
Right. So when I came on board, there was, I think, 939 follow-ups that needed to be done statewide, which was alarming. And I really should have checked upline with Jason Gerard on how to handle it. And he would have probably told me to text all those people with our two or three other folks, but we actually called all 939 of them. And I learned you shouldn't call after 8:30 in the evening. Illinois is a farming state in central and southern Illinois. So I pulled some poor old schlub out of bed at 8:30, 8:45 in the evening one night. And he told me things about my mother I never knew before, but I deserve that. Okay. So I've learned, really don't make any calls after 8:15 in the evening. I actually prefer to call, and I encourage our team to call late in the afternoon between 4 and 5:30 p.m. when people are getting off work. Or on a Saturday, that's a terrific time to call before they leave their house from about 9 a.m. to noon. You know, you can walk by your follow-up queue and you can do 10 or 20 calls and nothing flat. And, you know, you're going to have four or five live people answer the phone. A lot of calls are going to go to voicemail, but you really don't know what news item might have been the hair that broke the camel's back when it comes to somebody just got really agitated and then moving on to the political field, the field of action, the playing action. Instead of just yelling at your TV set, they're willing to do something. And quite frankly, a lot of the VAs that start with us become district captains because just one or two events a year is not enough to keep them engaged. They want to get more action. When they see how simple this really is getting to know your legislators and finding commonality, finding common ground. That's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so you didn't have very many people, but you had a lot of potential in the very beginning. And you guys got on the phone with those guys and you didn't have a whole lot, I don't think, as far as activities. How do you keep them busy? And why is it so important? And how did you figure all that out? How did you turn a petition signer into at least a VA or volunteer activist? Some states call it a CA or citizen activist.
So I think, you know, the news does a lot of the heavy lifting for us. I think you'll find 30 or 40 different areas of our federal government right now that I find appalling. And I have a list, and I'll probably be talking about that list tonight when I talk to a group of 20 patriots at a local restaurant that don't know much about COS. But I like to tell them, look, this is what we stand for. We're 10 or 11 years old. At the time, we were only 5 or 6 years old. But I would just lay out, you know, this is what we stand for. Your right to petition the government for grievances is just as important as your right to free speech or bear arms or the right to assemble, the right to have a free press. That would be nice to have a free press again in this country. The freedom from self-incrimination, the right to have protection from excessive bail. These are all fundamental Bill of Rights stuff. And I tell people, when was the last time you actually thought about petitioning the government, your elected leaders, who are servants, by the way, your public servants, when did you ever think about exercising your right to petition for grievances when something is not right, when something is not correct, when the federal government is not providing for the common defense with the border, or the federal government, you give them an inch and they take a mile? And so it seems like the federal government, despite the fact of well intentions, they just, once they get a hold of power, they don't want to let it go. And I think that you see that today in the student loan bailout program, or just another 40 different topics. You see one branch of government overstepping their bounds, even though the Supreme Court might rule one or another way. But getting back to COS, I would just encourage folks, look, there's four things that come before Convention of States, and that's your health, your career, your family, and your house of worship. If all those things are in order, then I think you're going to make a good volunteer. If one of those four things is off, you can become a volunteer and get in the information flow, but I really encourage you to go work out that area, your health, your career, your family, or your house of worship. Get that thing right, and then we'll talk about volunteering, because when we put responsibility on people, we want to make sure they can deliver, and they're going to feel bad if they don't. And nobody needs a second job, right, Mike? Most everybody has one boss already. So we really make this fun, and we enjoy it. And when people take time away from their family, we really want them to make a contribution that matters. We invite spouses or significant others to every event we do, so that person knows what they're doing, and that way the doer has support from their significant other.
Yeah, I'm in strong agreement with your take on volunteer activists, with all the folks that are involved with Convention of States. Any of the topics that you brought up, they'd be thrilled to talk with you. You guys could spend plenty of time going over those things. But one of the things I hear from people saying that their follow-ups are, they're often very disappointed, their follow-up people, because nobody answers the phone, nobody responds to emails, nobody responds to texts. How do I get those people? And that seems to be a challenge for a number of people. What would you say to somebody who mentioned that to you?
Well, I've noticed there's really two philosophies on onboarding a person. There's the brief 4 introductory courses that we recommend, and showing them how to do a follow-up and getting them engaged right away, showing up on the biweekly calls and introducing themselves. There's the other philosophy that says, gee, I'm going to put them through a 20-step process on becoming a DC so that when they really hit the field, they're going to know what to do. And I advocate for the first position. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I kind of let the cream rise to the top as far as the doers go. And we give them the basics, and then we cut them loose, and we kind of say, you know, if you want more information as you go, we're going to give it to you. But in the meantime, if you can show up on the biweekly calls, if you can make a phone call, send an email, come out to an event, whether it's a volunteer get together locally or a public event to get signatures, that's great. I just don't believe in overburdening people with too much training. I think the basics, they'll figure out what they need to know, or we'll tell them if they come to us. And that way we don't overtrain people. Now, one thing I did from the start when I was state grassroots coordinator after being a DC for a while and then as state director is I go ahead and preemptively text in the follow-up queue because people are normally remembering Convention of States for maybe 1 to 7 days after they sign the petition. So I like to hit them right away with a text. And if they're really a live one, to me, if they respond back, fish on, they're thinking about it. And then I will call them and then send them to one of our two onboarding people. That way, somebody's not waiting to hear from a COS person for 5 to 10 days and their credentials and their information goes from green to yellow or orange to red. So preemptively texting is the way we figured out who was really interested in talking to us. And you have to remember the scale for us is anywhere from 3 to 5 people a day signing the petition in the winter time to 200, 300, 400 a day signing it in the peak of summer at a state fair. Well, the texting helps you identify out of all those people who really wants to talk to you right away. They're really ticked off at the federal government. That way you can identify that spark and then go in there and pour a bunch of gasoline on it and get a forest fire going. And so I believe in preemptively texting the queue and then letting the people that are supposed to follow up. We don't overtrain. And then once they on board, the other thing we tell them is, listen, we really encourage you to call these three people, find a neighboring patriot in COS, whether it's a VA, volunteer activist, or DC, and have an informational meeting. The one thing we can't do for you is help you find the venue and find a patriot, a running buddy that you want to work with. We have everything else, Mike. We have projectors, portable silver screens, content we can show you or do the email and text blast for you. We can do all this, but the one thing we can't do for you is you must furnish the will to win in your local area. If you're willing to do that, we have everything else, how to run an event, who's going to do check-in, what's the merch table look like, the basket for donations, what's the content. It doesn't have to be the COS presentation. The Massachusetts team, Michael Arnold's team, provided us with 8 PDF slide decks on content that we can roll out at a local meeting. Like, why was the Constitutional Convention a necessity when we just had a confederation of states? That's a great, great talking point on why did we do this to get started as a nation. So that's really it. So those 4 things for us is what we focus on: preemptively texting, don't overtrain people, cut them loose, see what you got, find a neighboring patriot or running buddy, and number 4, have fun, have lots of fun. And my goal is not to send somebody to COS University to take a course. My goal is to get them into the field to take action and find some people that want to lock arms with them and do something.
Okay, let me bring up something that we talked about a little bit earlier when it comes to those free events. I'm inspired by the way that you guys use those to get people into action, to get them shoulder to shoulder with somebody, learning about the presentation. Tell me a little bit about what that looks like. What is a free event and how do you do it?
Right. So I always tell our new folks, you know your area better than I do. And there might be a car show or a flea market or a very active political sciences department at your local university. But take a look at all the fairs, all the events that are going on in your local area. And let's just talk about it. You know, when you come to me with an event, because really my goal, I think my title is more state director slash events coordinator, because in the Illinois is a big geographic state. So I do have 9 regional captains now that help me out, but I like to vet the events personally to get an idea of what's available. But at the end of the day, the local people, they know what local events, they know their area better than anybody. And we might say yes to a flea market and no to hanging out at a local grocery store. But we seem to be able to find these local homegrown events that get started, a local chamber of commerce expo, a job fair, a VFW open, just anything you can think of. I was really surprised last year that 2/3 of our events were complimentary. I thought it was about 50-50, but it turns out we do a lot of these, like an event tonight, a Gun Saves Lives event. This is the sixth time we've talked to them out of nine different chapters in the state of Illinois. There's going to be 20 people at this meeting. There's going to be a 6 o'clock dinner. There's going to be a chapter meeting at 7. At 7:30, they're going to have the local speaker. That's me. And a few brief remarks on COS with the goal to get some signatures and maybe 1 to 2 volunteers. But at the end of the day, we have our brand new district captain sometimes going out there to talk to a GOP women's club or a what have you. And we normally will send a veteran leader with them so they're not flying solo. But I've had district captains that after one get together, they're like, I'm armed and dangerous. I got a clipboard. I got my 5-minute COS talk down. And if somebody asks me a question I don't know, I'll find out for them. So that's kind of it. Just keeping your antenna up. It's really what you're supposed to do as a district captain, right? Do your follow-ups, do your DC 100 training course. Keep your antenna up and plug into the biweekly meeting so you know what's going on.
So as we mentioned, Illinois has the most active district captains in the nation currently, 63 of them or so. It kind of fluctuates, goes up and down. Yet you have more volunteer activists. So you've got all these volunteer activists. What's your method, way, and when and how do you get an activist, a citizen activist, to move up to a district captain? How desirable is that? And how does all that fit into your strategy?
Right. I think the more they get to know us, the more they tend to increase their commitment. We don't make people feel bad if they can't make an event. Again, sometimes life, health, career, house of worship is going to take precedence. But at the end of the day, we want them to feel uplifted and that their 2 hours of serving or volunteering was fruitful. We've had a lot of get-togethers, Mike, where there was just 1 to 2 people that were interested, but those people turned out to become superstars. So the event was worth it that night. I've had 2 back-to-back meetings now in a local suburb of Chicagoland where we had about 15 people RSVP to an informational update on what's going on in your area, both for COS in and out of Illinois. And I told the regional captain both times, you know, you'll probably get 7 to 9 people showing up if you got 15 confirmed coming. And both times I was wrong. The first time he had 50 people show up on a Sunday afternoon, and this past Saturday he had 15 RSVPs and he had 30 people show up. So, you know, all of a sudden it kind of sets the numbers on their head. But to answer your question, I think a lot of times people get around us and they realize, you know what, these folks are just like me and I want to do my part. And I tell folks, you know, once you're a district captain, especially if you're a co-district captain, it's so much easier because you have somebody in your region, in your house districts, that's willing to run with you. And that makes it a lot easier. But at the end of the day, I would say the VAs aren't intimidated by the DC role. I would say a lot of our district captains are really only put in 1 to 2 hours a week. Now in the summer or the fall, they might have a higher commitment level because the weather is nicer here. I mean, a Midwestern summer and fall is like a jailbreak. We only have 7 months of good weather, unlike you spoiled people in California, Mike, where you have year-round perfect weather. But the rest of us have to, you know, we have 2 seasons, right? Summer and then just whatever. Cold. So, yeah. And sometimes it's cold until June, which is not fair. But at the end of the day, I think they sense the fun. We don't take ourselves too serious. And I think everybody in the organization checks their ego at the door. We're all volunteers. We all care about Lady Liberty. We got to save Lady Liberty because on the path she's going right now, she's going to run out of money. And the morals are slipping and a lot of things in the country are not going in the right direction. And that's just because a lot of people have been sold a bill of goods that they think this is the way I should live, me, myself, and I. And really, that's not how you should live. You should put others before yourself. You'll notice that you know, a lot of people in our organization are Christian. We have a lot of non-Christians in our team in Chicagoland, but You know, the good Lord sent the disciples out two by two. There's a reason why we say lock arms with your neighboring patriot, because when you're down, odds are they're not going to be down. And if you're married, I always say, if you're married, you know, the worst time to make a decision as a married couple is when both people are down. It's a huge mistake. You should never make a big decision when both of you are down. So, wow. You know, I have found normally that you send them out two by two, they'll be all right. And we're just experiencing great results.
So Illinois has embraced the regional captain role. And generally speaking, we kind of identify, just for generic purposes, the regional captain is a state level leader, which, of course, there's tons of state level leaders. There's the LLs, the state director, state grassroots coordinators. We have the media folks. We have all kinds of communication. We have all kinds of state level leadership. And that takes some real stepping up to step up into a regional captain role. So how does that role play a part in bringing in state leadership, and how much state leadership do you really need?
We couldn't do what we do without the regional captains. I think the U.S. Army said the average number of people that anybody can manage, like a sergeant or what have you, is four. So there's no way one person, a state director, can manage 65 district captains. By the way, two of them logged back in this morning, so we're back to 65 instead of 63. But at the end of the day, you do need the RC role. I would say that our regional captains probably cover 90 minutes from their home, 90 to 120 minutes from their home. So we're able to reach the whole state now, except for Western Illinois, Quincy. I have a Freedom Fest booth going on in Quincy at the Mississippi. That's the only area far Western Illinois we need an RC in right now. But we have nine at the moment, and those nine actively manage anywhere from 2 to 18 district captains. And that way, there's somebody that's willing to help you, come alongside you, and work with you, and that way you know you're not alone. And they normally, obviously, are a veteran. They've been to a number of the get-togethers. You know, we just finished a state strategy meeting, north and south, what have you. And I'm proud to tell you this year, Mike, before I forget it, the six priorities that we rolled out for the next 2 to 3 years for us is our Surge Day, Citizens Action Day, in the state capitol next week. We have 42 confirmed for that right now. Constitutional coaching, we're going to do the Illinois Constitution Day in September as Patriot Academy train Constitution coaches. We have 45 people signed up for that. We just are focused on the Model 34 delegate commissioner legislation. That's our third thing that we're looking at. Number four is the booth refresh and assisting anybody at National on a refresh of the website. That's an active team. Number five is the witness testimony. We just gained our first set of Democratic supporters for our uniform resolution, so we're already training for our witness testimony prep team. And finally, the full court press on our moderate Democrats and existing legislators. So our legislators meet Tuesday through Thursday. That means they're in their home districts Monday and Friday, and they're in their home district in the wintertime. So we go and meet them to make sure we've touched them at least once a year. So those are the big six that we're focused on for the next 2 to 3 years. But we couldn't have done that without the regional captains. And I like to have them at my house for a planning meeting in January. And we talk about, these are the 100 or so events that we're focused on this year. Which ones are we going to green light, and which ones are we going to pass? We passed on the two state fairs for 3 years in a row, until we felt we could staff it with 70 volunteers, and we were effectively utilizing the power of National's funding of over $1,000 entry fee. We only will spend National's money if we think we can get the value. But again, couldn't do it without the regional captains, and they're near and dear to my heart, because these are the guys, the middle management, the doers out in the field, you know?
So it sounds like you have a lot of cream rising to the top with some great leadership. So here's my final question for you. There's a lot of people out there watching, and I don't believe you have to be a state director to grab that bull by the horns and start in on building your state's team. And so if somebody's watching and they're looking to inspire their team to achieve their next level, what would you say to them?
I think you have to find content or something that really gets your juices flowing, something that really appeals to you personally. I think the webinars that Mark Meckler talks on, or Michael Ferris or Rita Peters, when they talk about certain things where our country's headed, that should start the five alarm fire in your mind that, you know what, I really don't have the luxury every night of sitting at home and watching my favorite TV programs when our country is going off a fiscal cliff and a moral cliff, and we have young people actively advocating for socialism, which really just means watered down communism. I heard the other day somebody was defending squatters' rights on the TV and the fact that your personal property really isn't your personal property anymore. That's crazy talk. That is not in our DNA as Americans. In this country, if you're not happy with your results, you need to get out there and work, get another job, go do something else, et cetera, et cetera. And we should always be a country of work and merit, et cetera, and compassionate towards the poor. I don't think we'll ever lose that. But at the end of the day, you have to find something that gets your juices flowing, something that takes the eye off yourself. Again, we come back to this, me, myself, and I is really not the thing that should be on the throne of your life. You should actually be putting others, your spouse, your kids, strangers, your neighbors ahead of yourself. And really, that's the golden rule, right? It's not only do unto others as you should do unto you would have them do unto you, but you should actually put other people ahead of your own interests and help them out. You know, my pastor always says you should only look down at a person when you're helping pick them up after they've fallen.
David Winters, State Director of the Blue State of Illinois, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you so much for inspiring so many people in what you've already done. And I can only imagine the action that people will jump into after hearing this podcast. Thanks so much for joining.
The best is yet to come, Mike.
Thank you for listening to Grassroots Groundbreakers. To learn more effective strategies, go to www.cosuniversity.com. or sign up to volunteer at conventionofstates.com/act.